News. I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Donald Trump doesn't have enough cash on hand to secure the nearly $500 million bond from his civil fraud judgment. His lawyers have asked that the $464 million amount be lowered. Attorney General Letitia James in New York says she will start seizing property if the money isn't there by next Monday. Another potential government shutdown averted.
Congressional leaders in the White House have reached an agreement to fund the Department of Homeland Security, say two sources familiar to ABC News. Negotiators are still working out the details. Funding for DHS was the final sticking point. Funding bills for five other departments, including defense, were agreed to over the weekend, sources say. Late Friday is the deadline to avert a shutdown.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. A UN food agency is warning that famine is imminent in northern Gaza, as food aid is still difficult to get to those who need it most. A couple dozen Americans flown out of Haiti over the weekend. Violence continuing to plague Port-au-Prince. Thousands more Americans still trying to get out of the capital city. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marquette University plans to cut $31 million from its budget over the next 7 years. That's about 7% of its operating budget. Campus officials blame a drop in traditional student enrollment and the growing need for financial aid. They say program offerings, organizational structures, and campus facilities are all on the table. Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein says she's not a spoiler. She aims to get at least 5% of the Wisconsin vote in November, presumably from left-of-center voters.
There's a substantial portion within the Democrats who are looking for something else, but an even bigger demographic are those who refuse to even show up for the Democratic primary.
Stein appeared on WISN-TV's Upfront Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth first responders have come up with a fun way to promote blood drives in the area. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth Police Department, Fire Department, and Mayo Clinic Ambulance Services will be competing in the first Battle of the Badges blood drive competition. Officials see it as a way to get more residents out to donate much-needed blood and promote the relationship between the organizations in a fun way. The drive will be held on April 17th at the Mayo Clinic Ambulance Service. Northern Wisconsin law enforcement agencies joined for active shooter training at Superior High School last week. The Superior Police Department, Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Superior Fire Department, Mayo Clinic Ambulance, and local college students acting as victims took part in the training, preparing officers to respond to an active threat and for what to do after the shooting. The goal of the training was to make sure law enforcement and medical personnel know how to work in tandem during a worst-case scenario situation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Cheerio gets the job. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Journal Sentinel says Jackson Cheerio is expected to start in center field when the Brewers open the season in New York against the Mets next week Thursday. The 20-year-old signed an 8-year deal worth $82 million. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, center field, we've got some great options. Cheerio, as talented as anybody in that position.
Cheerio would become the third youngest center fielder ever to start on opening day in the majors in 124 years. NFL, Yosh Nyman, no longer a Packer. The 6'7" offensive lineman lost his job at left tackle when Packers coordinator Adam Stenovich had this to say last September.
Yeah, right now he's a backup tackle for us. Football's a very competitive sport, and some guys rise to that competition and some guys don't.
Nyman has signed a 2-year deal with Carolina. College basketball, March Madness begins tonight. With four games, over 50 million Americans expected to fill out a bracket. The odds of getting them all right, 1 in 9 quintillion. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy this morning, gradually clearing as we make our way into the afternoon. Our high today, 42, with wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 11. Tomorrow, sunny and colder, 26 for a high. We are keeping an eye on a system that could bring a little snow by late Thursday into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wednesday on Up North News Radio, the clean energy jobs of the future are coming to rural America. Wisconsin is no exception.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And by the way, who is you?
I'm back, Earl.
Calvin, you've been... You cut out on us, man.
MIA.
Yeah, I took a short little vacation, but I've returned.
Oh, where did you go? You didn't go to Fort Lauderdale, did you, Calvin?
I didn't go anywhere, in all honesty. I just stayed at home, did some chores, read, and hung out with the dogs, that kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
Well, man, you know, even an engineer needs a break sometimes.
Mm, right? For sure.
You know, and he certainly earned it.
And he works with us, so he needs it's a double need.
But Calvin, man, take the break when it's 70 degrees, 75 degrees.
Yeah, I'll have to keep that in mind for next time. I definitely didn't get very nice weather.
No, man, no. But it doesn't matter.
Who knows? Yeah, tomorrow, today, it's going to be different every day, right?
Oh, yeah, today it's going to be almost, well, see, I didn't even get a chance to introduce you. But those who are listening by now already know it's Tuesday. I mean, it's Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Like I said, you know, it's one day it's summer, next day it's winter. Today, maybe it's spring.
Yeah, well, you know, supposed to get in the 40s today, right?
Yippee.
Yeah, well, listen, 40 sound pretty good.
Yeah.
After some of what we've had. There was some mention, Calvin, I don't know if you know it, a possible snow. Is that just, you know anything about that?
I don't, and I'm not in charge of that either. So I neither call the shots on it, nor do I know about snow.
You know, it was some, I don't know, maybe I was, you know, daydream. You know, it was a dream, a nightmare. But I thought they said something about 2 to 5 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
Our phone lines open at 844-967-2789. Did I just imagine that?
I think you did, Earl.
Who's that? John Lennon, Imagine? Imagine? No, I don't think I imagined it.
Okay.
I think they said somewhere 2 to 5 inches of snow.
Well, somewhere.
Yeah.
Aspen, Colorado.
No, in Wisconsin.
Oh.
So, I didn't listen to it very closely, but Sandy's got this tool that he uses, to figure all these things out. What is that thing called? What is that invention called that you're dealing with?
The smartphone?
That smartphone. Yeah. You know, I remember when they first came out and they called it, and they said, well, it's a smartphone. And I said, okay. And they asked me if I wanted a smartphone. And I said, well, I wouldn't mind getting the smartphone, but nobody told me you had to be smart in order to use the smartphone, man.
It takes something. But, you know, it's getting smarter and smarter. I've discovered this app called Copilot, okay? Copilot's the the artificial intelligence chat app of Microsoft, and it's quite extraordinary, actually. You just talk to it and ask it a question or tell it to write something, and it does it instantaneously.
Well, you know, I have trouble with this Android, you know, keeping up with it.
Yeah. There's Copilot for it, too.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. But
you need a Copilot. Right?
Well, I've got one, and I've had that for 43 years.
Actually, Earl and I were driving to the Bucks game last week, and he saved my life in an intersection. He's my Copilot.
You know,
wingman.
You know, as you didn't respond. I said I've had a Copilot for.
I know what you're talking about.
Are you sure?
I think so. Yeah, right,
but maybe we should digress. Anyway, we've got an awful lot to talk about this morning, as always. But Sandy, before we get into all of these different things that we'll be talking about today, man, St. Patrick's Day, right? So. Not this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
St. Patrick's Day was Sunday.
Yeah, it was the 17th. But they had the parade a week earlier, you told me.
Yeah, that was. So St. Patrick's Day is now 2 full weeks of celebrating?
Well, I'm sure the tavern and bar owners would like it to last as many days as possible.
And I'm thinking St. Patrick's Day was 2 weeks ago on this past Saturday because we froze to death, me and this young man. That I'm raising, watching the St. Patty's Day parade in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Well, and people were pretty well oiled up.
Yeah, the day itself is March 17th. So the tavern owners must have decided, hey, if we have this thing a week early and we can celebrate every day from then thenceforth. Yeah.
Well, it worked, right? Because clearly people did follow that and they had a great time, I guess, for 2 weeks. So imagine if they did that for Christmas.
Well, they tried to.
Only they do it for 3 months.
I would guess that it won't be more than about 6 weeks from now when they start putting up Christmas decorations.
So they're going to squeeze whatever they can squeeze out of you and I.
Exactly.
It all depends whether or not we're willing to adhere to it, but.
Yeah, many holidays have turned into marketing opportunities. Hallmark cards created Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. What about Swedish Day?
There's such a the chocolate companies probably started that. I don't know about that. Is that a day you give sweet candies to?
Roses and all those kind of things. Calvin, you celebrate Swedish Day?
I'm aware of it, but no, I don't celebrate it.
Do you have a sweetie? To celebrate the sweetest day with?
Maybe
I'm delving a little bit too deep into Calvin's private life, huh?
No, that's not.
so Tony says, that's your problem, Earl. You need an iPhone, not an Android phone. Well, Tony, if you're going to teach me how to use the iPhone.
iPhones are intuitive. That's what Steve Jobs set out to accomplish, and he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, my wife has an iPhone, and I've got enough trouble with the Android, man. Now, you know, this is as far as I can go with the technology, man. I'm just not, I'm not hell-bent on, you know, going all in on technology.
Well, variety is the spice of life, Earl.
Yeah, okay.
Android, iPhones, you know.
Yeah, well, let's do this, Sandy. There's so much to talk about, man. Before we get into all of that, man, I don't want to jump into all of these serious conversations that we're going to be talking about, man. You've got a green thumb. You've got a beautiful landscaping, and you kind of work with those things yourself. So what happens now when you've seen all of the life start coming back and the flowers and budding trees and all that, and then below zero hits? Normally during the winter, they'll say, or the fall, below zero generally kills the plants.
You mean below freezing?
Yeah, below freezing.
Which is zero centigrade. So I hear you. Well, I think that, you know, that first of all, the bulb plants, the ones that come up really early, daffodils.
The more hardy?
They're pretty hardy. So it takes a real hard freeze to damage them. And even if they're damaged, they'll come back next year. They're just little episodic, you know, the psyllid, snow blossoms, the various things. They're kind of intended to come up early, and that's what they're doing. There is some blossoming, you know, forsythia. I don't think many trees are getting very green yet, so.
So hold on. Hey, Calvin, you know what forsythia is?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. Forsythia is the bright yellow thing that comes out very early, okay? The bright yellow bushes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about dandelions.
No, those come out. Yeah, they come out too. They come out in the lawn. Forsythia is like a bush, okay? And it's the early budding yellow bush. Yeah, but that's about all I know. I've exhausted my knowledge of plants.
Well, but I'm just saying this kind of weather. You stated it, and even though, you know, it's been pretty cold for the plants, you see the animals, right? You kind of see.
Yeah, the animals are out and around, but we don't have many animals that hibernate. You know, bears, rabbits are out and around all winter.
Right, right.
So I don't, you know.
Well, birds, you know, you know, robins. I guess normally you don't see them throughout the entire winter. They've made a comeback, and generally, in the spring, the first couple of weeks of spring, robins are everywhere.
Yeah,
they're nesting and creating families. And robins have been back now for several weeks.
Yep. No, I think we're on the verge of spring. We haven't really had much in the way of, you know, it's been below 32, but not much, you know, 29, 28. And every day is getting up into the 40s. So I think we're into spring.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about a lot of different things when we come back. We're going to talk about, car washes, right? You've got that fine coach outside, and it's always clean and shiny and bright. And so, you know, I go to the car wash from time to time, but I don't have a contract with the car wash. Some people do. They sign contracts with car washes. They think everything is fair and fine. And
well, I think the trend in car washes is try and have these car wash clubs where you pay $22, $23, $24 a month and you have unlimited car washes.
Which sounds really good, right?
Sounds good, except people don't have that much time to go out and have their car washed. So I think it's a good bet on the part of the car wash operation. It's a steady flow of income and
for the car wash.
Yeah, for the
but,
car.
But
yeah.
what does it say if all of a sudden I determine and I decide that I no longer want to be in that contract? How difficult is it for me to get out? 844-967-2789. We're going to discuss that on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, so we decide you go in, you sign a contract for one of these, this particular businesses in Waukesha, and it says to end his car wash membership, he was told he had to cancel his debit card. Now Take 5 is reimbursing him. So Take 5, which is a car wash, what do you call it, Sandy? Franchise.
Yeah.
And to save some cash, Scott Olson thought to cancel his car wash membership with Take 5 in Waukesha. He figured the process would be as easy as Take 5 website suggests. Just an online form or quick chat at his preferred location. Instead, Olson said employees at the Waukesha location told him they had no clue how to cancel his membership. According to Olson, one manager said the issue could be that his membership began under previous ownership when the location was still called Coast Car Wash and suggested Olson cancel his debit card. So Sandy.
Well, that isn't clearly what's required to cancel. You don't have to cancel the credit card that you were using to pay the subscription. I do think subscriptions are something that people need to be wary about. I don't think that they're ripoffs per se, but I think lots of businesses have decided that a good business model is to tell you that it's going to cost you X if you buy one, but it'll cost you X minus 10% if you sign up to buy it monthly. And many internet now, when you go to buy something on the internet or go to Amazon to buy something, it gives you a once-only purchase option or a subscription option. And if you sign up for a subscription, now you're going to be getting something every month. You'll be getting it at a somewhat discounted price, but you're roped in. And so what people need to do is keep track of their subscriptions, which is something I think the people who are getting these, getting you to sign up for subscriptions kind of count on you not doing. I mean, some people have subscriptions that they're happy about, want to continue, are happy with the discount that results, happy with the convenience of having it come monthly or whatever lapse of time they've chosen. But, you know, we sign up for lots of things that way. And I think everybody, all of our listeners probably have more subscriptions than they know right now.
So, Sandy, you know, I'm a radio host. I think I've got about 15 subscriptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm sure I'm paying a lot of money. You sign the subscription and it just comes out automatically and you don't pay attention. I had one subscription 3 times. And it was coming out of my account. I didn't pay any attention to it.
3 times?
Yes.
So
because
you had signed up 3 times? Yeah.
For the same subscription.
Yeah.
And a year went by, and my wife caught it, and we contacted the people, and we said, oh, wait a minute. I've been paying you three times for the same subscription for over a year. Can we get our money back? Oh, well, no, sir, we don't go back, you know, in that amount of time. The best we can do is offer you a year free, but the money, we don't refund money. Well, I get it. You know, we don't know when we sign these things, Sandy. We don't know basically what we're doing in most instances. It's certainly, they're not in business to lose any money. They're going to always make sure they cover themselves.
Well, like I said, lots of businesses have decided it's a good business model to offer this opportunity for convenience, right? And it's convenient for them, for sure, because they get a monthly stream of money out of it. Could be convenient for you because you don't have to go back and reorder every month.
Right.
But people really ought to keep track. And I would guess the lesson here is that people need to get their credit card bill out or bills and look at and keep track of their subscriptions and make sure that they still want them. You know, there's some iPhone users have a subscription monitor on it that monitors the things that you do through your iPhone, and that makes it quite convenient.
You know, even debit cards, right? We use these things. They make it easy for us. But unlike when you had to pay for things with checks, where you had to monitor those things and keep those things in line, you use the debit card and you just don't even, well, I'm saying, I don't.
Yeah.
And you're constantly using that, and it's almost as if it's not your money, right? I mean, it's almost it's not money.
Well, people use it like a credit card, except it's being subtracted from your checking account the moment you use it. So pretty easy to run into an overdraft if you're not keeping track in that fashion.
Yeah. Lots of subscription services hope you forget about it and they can keep charging. It's a very shady business model. The Civic Media app is free. Thank you, Tony, for, you know, giving us that plug. That's a real good deal. Let me repeat that. the Civic Media app is free. And so that's a real good deal. By all means, go to the Civic Media app. Go to the Civic Media site and get the Civic Media app. And you certainly won't regret it. You won't have to worry about, you know, being like Earl and having the same subscription that you're paying three times for a year. So here's what we have to do. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit. Our private conversation's really private with Sandy Williams on the other side. 844-967-2789. A private conversation's really private. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday with Sandy Williams. 844-967-2789. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is calling on Republican lawmakers to release $15 million for health care in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, where two of the community's hospitals are set to close Friday.
Wisconsinites in western Wisconsin should not have to wait any longer than they already have. It's time for the Republicans to take this issue seriously and to do the right thing.
It's up to the Joint Finance Committee to release the money. Wisconsin lawmakers are scrutinizing work-from-home policies at state government agencies. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee is holding a hearing today. An audit in December shows one in every four state workers is allowed to work from home 2 to 5 days a week. There's talk of possibly selling offices that aren't being used. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A world-famous band will take their talents to Duluth this summer. According to Duluth Entertainment Convention Center officials, the Bare Naked Ladies will be performing at Symphony Hall in November with Toad the Wet Sprocket. The band has been performing for 35 years to great commercial success, with over 15 million records sold and a few Juno Awards and Grammy nominations. Tickets for the show are set to go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. with prices starting at about $40. They can be purchased online. Spirit Mountain has officially ended its winter skiing season. According to a Northern News Now report, Spirit Mountain Recreation Area in Duluth held one last event on the final day of their winter season this Saturday, which included free events and a costume contest. Officials with Spirit Mountain said they wished for a more typical winter with more snow to make their jobs easier, but they managed to do things differently to make sure everyone who visited the area had the chance to take advantage of the mountain. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I'm like to a former
Drew
lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. It was a big weekend at the box office for sequels. Kung Fu Panda took the top slot with $30 million in its second weekend on the big screen, totaling $107 million for its first 2 weeks. Panda 4 barely nudged out Dune 2, which came in at $29 million, but easily bested Arthur the King, a new Mark Wahlberg canine drama. That's the dog, not the tooth, which came in with a disappointing 7.5 mil on over 3,000 screens. Will the new Ghostbusters take the title from the Panda Champ this coming weekend? Yes, Sensei. Fans of Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian, at least those who are still alive, might have to pass the hat if they want to see him in the role again. Deadline says Billy Dee says he's not opposed to playing Lando again, but wants to get paid. Deadline reported that Williams says he wouldn't mind playing Calrissian again, but says Williams' attitude is pay me a lot of money and I'll sell my soul. Now that, folks, is artistic integrity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy this morning, gradually clearing as we make our way into the afternoon. Our high today, 42, with wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 11. Tomorrow, sunny and colder, 26 for a high. We are keeping an eye on a system that could bring a little snow by late Thursday into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. Go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays. My co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, our private conversations, truly private. And so, you know, this is in science that matters. Discover. I went to this website, and I thought this was kind of interesting. Imagine opening your front door wide and inviting the world to listen in on your most private conversations. Unthinkable, right? Yet, in the digital realm, people inadvertently leave doors ajar, potentially allowing hackers, tech companies, service providers, and security agencies to peek into your private communications. Much depends on the applications you use and the encryption standards the apps uphold. End-to-end encryption is a digital safeguard for online interactions. It's used by many of the more popular messaging apps. Understanding end-to-end encryption is crucial for maintaining privacy in people's increasingly digital lives. So, Sandy, we use these sites. We've grown accustomed, all of us, and certainly they give us a very interesting opportunity to read and go on. You know, you can actually visit the world with all these different apps and those kinds of things. But have we really given up freedoms and privacy that we don't know about? Are these things legal?
Well, legal. I think that article is dealing with either illegal or court-ordered kinds of intrusions into your privacy. And the question is practical. You know, can you trust to be private? I mean, if you're all alone with somebody in the forest and you whisper to one another, undoubtedly what you're talking about is private, unless it's repeated by one of the parties. However, if you talk to that same person in a crowded restaurant, somebody might overhear you, and it's not private, okay? So, you know that in the circumstance of physical proximity. Right. Well, as we've moved into modernity, you know, we had telephones with party lines. Everyone who had a party line understood that if they were talking on the phone, somebody else could pick up on the party and listen. So they were probably reluctant to talk about truly private things on their party line because they knew about that potential. You know, they had a right to privacy, but it could be intruded upon because of the practicalities. And the same is true of a telephone. You know, it could be tapped. What would it likely be tapped? Not likely, but it definitely was. It's a relatively simple process to tap a phone. And now when you get into using the electronic media where you leave a trail, everything you do leaves a trail, obviously it's subject to being less than private. And we all understand that when we purchase things on the internet, it's being recorded in a fashion. Or when we look on the internet, it's being recorded because the next time you look on the internet, you'll start seeing the same stuff that you were looking at before. And so there's a great deal of effort on part of the internet to really understand you personally as much as possible, including in ways that you might not prefer that other people understand, which is what leads to this whole notion of encryption. Or using a VNP, which is a way to mask your internet address, okay, so that it appears to be something else. And I think there's a growing number of people who use that kind of apparatus. If we truly want to be private, then we have to understand that with modernity comes the risk of things that we wish to be private not being as private as we would wish.
Modernity meaning what?
Well, the development of new technologies and, the technologies that both make our lives more convenient but also make us more accessible to everyone else that's using that same internet kind of convenience.
So even though we can see the benefit of having access to all this technology, you and I come from a different time and many in the listening audience when, our privacy was – just that you could almost control over your privacy.
Yeah, I think that For instance, there's this debate right now about the extent to which government should be allowed to control what happens on the internet.
Right.
The Supreme Court's hearing a case right now. I think it's best to think about those cases by trying to simplify them and think about the sort of simple issues that relate to it. So that in that particular circumstance, what is a Facebook? Well, it's a bulletin board. And it's a bulletin board owned by somebody who's making a profit out of the bulletin board. Should you hold that bulletin board liable for the kinds of things that appear on it? Well, maybe. Should the government be able to control what's on the billboard? Well, that's a pretty iffy issue. But if they do control it, then can you still hold the person liable for what it is? Because the government has been deciding what should and shouldn't be on it. And if the government allows it on it, then should you still be able to hold the owner liable? And these are all the kind of dicey issues that are being considered. And I fear that they're not being simplified enough in the consideration of them to pierce through the complexity to see the more simple issues that underlie them.
So our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, the debate about TikTok is right now on the forefront. I'd love to hear your thoughts on these things. You know, Sandy, to the government and parts of the government is demanding that the chair of TikTok, that China kind of controls,
be sold. Yeah.
And there are people who are cheering that on and saying, yeah, those are Chinese, let's do that, let's get that done. If you open that door, Sandy, with forcing them to do that, doesn't it open the door to the rest of it? I mean, once, like I said before,
when you start using nationality as the basis, if there isn't truly a national security issue involved, and I think China and the United States both recognize the potential for actual national security issues in the circumstance of, for instance, the hardware that's used in missiles.
Right.
Okay, but when you deal with a social networking system or something that's benign and totally civilian, so, you know, will the Chinese now say that Apple has to sell its operations in China to China in order for it to be permissible? I mean, that we wouldn't like that if other countries start dealing with American industry in that fashion. And so I think that's kind of the problem associated with that. And the Supreme Court does have an issue now pending before it that relates to what we were talking about. It's different than TikTok, but they're looking at the issue of whether the Biden administration, for instance, was acting permissibly when it interacted with public social media to talk to them about what they were putting on the platform. And there are those who are saying that those interactions involved attempted censorship. And the Supreme Court's looking at that right now. It looks like, based on the questioning in the case yesterday, that they don't think that it was censorship, that they think that that the government has a right to interact with content without trying to control it.
So for instance, that X, and which is the thing that it's really they're talking about right now, and Republicans are saying, hey, this is a site where we've been using since Elon Musk took it over. And so you'll see more conservatives or Republicans that site has now kind of moved into that kind of arena. And they're saying, hey, they're coming after us for having freedoms to say the things that we want to say because we're Republican.
Well, coming after. You know, that's what the court is looking at is
right.
Is the process of reaching out and saying, hey, some of the stuff you're putting on there isn't true.
Right.
So that's an issue. And I think so long as those outreaches don't involve threats, the court in looking at it said, yeah, these interactions frequently resulted in the site simply saying, no, I'm not going to do what you're asking. I'm not going to do anything about that. And it was proof of the independence being exercised by the site. So, I for one think that sites are bulletin boards primarily Facebook, at least, and X are primarily bulletin boards, right? Places where people can hang up the things they want to say, and lots of people can see them. But it's, so it's a very public bulletin board. But you probably have to think about the regulation of it in the same manner that you would regulate a bulletin board.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that power that we have. Second, we must get money out of politics, because that's the problem with that is the thread that lies to everything. Leave TikTok alone. Leave all these social media platforms alone. But if you want, make sure that they have to show us all the algorithms that they're using. Because I'll tell you what, TikTok, to me, or in my experience, has been the least problematic out of the different type of algorithms that I'm getting on my own. Because everything I see on there is just kind of positive things and all this stuff. It's X and it's Facebook, which I think Facebook is the worst of the worst, because Facebook is basically, you know, classmates or whatever it is that, you know, where people tell their whole life on Facebook. On Twitter or X, they're talking politics. On Instagram, which scares me because that's part of Meta, they basically are doing exactly what TikTok is doing, but it's the algorithms. And what I mean by that is when you go into some type of thing and they can see your habits of where it is that you go, and then all of a sudden they go and they put in something that is going to really make you angry, because that's how the algorithm works. So you can have more anger, and you're not even looking for the information that you're looking for. I'd much rather have it where it's an open source. Everybody can see that basically these are what Sandy's talking about, a truly a bulletin board, not a place like Google even that can manipulate where it is that you're going to go. That's the problem. That's the big brother in all of it, is that it's the algorithms. And if they would show the algorithms, it wouldn't matter if you were from China, if you were even from Russia, which I, of course, do not agree with Putin of any kind and think he will destroy our country. But that it's the algorithms.
Okay.
So show us the algorithms, wherever you're from, and then let us be able, you know, to not be manipulated by these people.
Okay, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, It's just the new, you know, it's the Wild Wild West.
Well, Tom is right. I mean, I think showing the algorithm would be difficult because these are complex matters. But how do they decide? What does the mechanisms that they use decide in terms of what to show you next? That's really the issue. That's the thing with something like TikTok. It's affirmatively showing you things. It's constantly scrolling through a bunch of opportunities for you to see the kinds of things maybe that you've seen before or looked at before. And Tom's right that if what it does is also show you the obverse, you know, begins to show you the things that will make you angry, then it is trying to play with you, right? It's trying to excite you. And I think it is true that some of these sites have found that exciting the user is part of keeping the user totally enthralled.
All right. Up next, Trump calls for Liz Cheney to be jailed. What? Trump calls for Liz Cheney to be jailed. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for a dollar off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, it just never ends. You know, this guy that's running for president of the United States, he sometimes has, well, he oftentimes has diarrhea of the mouth. He just, whatever comes to his mind.
Yeah, John Bolton, the guy who was his security guy right. for a while, just a couple of days ago was trying to describe the notion of putting down a dot on a piece of paper for every expressed idea that Donald Trump had. And then if you connected those dots, he said, you'd have nothing. You know, it's totally random. It's every thought. This is not someone who can even conceive of a long-term strategy. And, you know, I think that's right. I think he says what he thinks. You know, a couple of days ago, the whole thing about the bloodbath. And then I was describing to you off the air, there was this movie, the Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And they commit a murder, and then they go to Wolfie's house because he's a cleaner. He's one of these people who comes in after a murder to clean up the mess and make it presentable. And that's kind of what happened immediately after the bloodbath comment. The revisionist Trump staff people came out and said, no, he was just talking about the automobile industry. Well, yeah. Well, he said bloodbath, and then after that, he said democracy will end as we know it. I'm not sure the automobile industry is the way you end democracy. But now we have jail Liz Cheney, I guess he claims that somehow there was some evidence that he didn't see, or that the public didn't see as a result of her conduct. She immediately responded and said, "No, everything we saw was presented to you. You've had it for months. The grand jury, the hearings, etc."
But Sandy, here's, you know, even when you talked about the bloodbath thing, that was bad enough. But then he went further to call people animals.
Yeah.
And so to me, you could talk about the bloodbath portion of it, but I come back to him calling those people animals.
Well, and constantly regurgitating the fact that these are rapists and criminals.
Yes.
And like everyone who's coming in from Mexico is carrying drugs on their person and going out to commit heinous crimes when they enter, when in fact the facts are that this group is more law-abiding than our general population at large.
So the argument with the misinterpretation of him talking about the bloodbath, you could argue that, but there is no argument on him calling these people animals.
Well, I think the whole thing about everything he said, you know, the poisoning, the blood, it all retreats to plausible deniability, which is what gangsters always try to have, right? You try to keep yourself sufficiently removed from the crime so you can say you didn't have anything to do with it, or you can say that what I said was benign if you look at it in this other context, even though the signal you're sending is clear to whoever it is you're sending the signal to. And I think that's what people are concerned about now. I mean, even Mike Pence suggested that while he tried to follow the revisionist theory about the automobile industry, noted that it's this kind of rhetoric that stirs up a base and causes them to do things that are potentially dangerous.
Okay, but here he is. I mean, Liz Cheney, for heaven's sakes, prior to Trump, Liz Cheney and her father's name carried a lot of weight in conservative arenas and respect. It's safe to say that.
Well, yeah, she was a noted conservative, I think highly respected.
And still is.
Yeah, and still is. And I think the thing is that this is proof that the party is no longer got ideological values. It's all about Donald Trump. And I'm just sorry that there aren't more people who see this clearly and realize that Donald Trump is not out for the benefit of Tom, Dick, and Mary and whoever it is that's supporting him. He did little to support those people on January 6th who were all tried on his behalf, essentially.
So that's the question. You have to ask yourself the question, with all the different things going on, why is he jumping on Liz Cheney? Of all the different areas and things that he should be talking about, he's talking about retribution on this woman.
Well, this is just another in the list of people he's talked about retribution on. I think this is the way hardline autocrats think. I think it's whack-a-mole. If you stick your head up and oppose me, I will whack your head off. It's an autocratic whack-a-mole, and that's what he's doing, and it's done purposefully because it's done to demonstrate to people that this is what's going to happen to you if you stick your head up. And as we can see, fewer and fewer people are willing to stick their head up. Mitch McConnell obviously doesn't want to be a victim of whack-a-mole.
You know, you remember Trump saying he had a lot of information on a lot of people. You know, yeah. And so it means he's going to expose people that he knows that have not been doing. But to me, this guy's running for president of the United States, Sandy. He's not running, you know, he's not in grade school or middle school. But he's certainly acting like a child.
Well, I think he's acting, quite frankly, and I don't use this term lightly. A lot of people do, but he's really acting like a thug. Because what he's doing is just what I'm describing. It's purposeful whack-a-mole, and it's done to have a chilling effect. And he is accomplishing that chilling effect. And to some people, at least, apparently that is attractive. Okay, it's attractive to have a leader who exhibits that kind of power.
You know, Sandy, the verbiage thug is appropriate. When you make threats to people, that it public, right? It's one thing to make threats behind the scenes. But to go out publicly and attack this woman and somehow think there shouldn't be any retribution towards you, or people shouldn't challenge you on saying the things that he's saying. Look, people keep saying, well, you don't understand what he means. Oh, I know. We know exactly what he means.
And it would be interesting. I haven't heard, but in response to those kind of comments, I wonder the extent to which the kind of threats that Liz Cheney receives, the number of them go up, or the demonstrable danger expressed in the threat goes up. Because I think that has been the case in most of these personalized targets that he's done. It has resulted in danger, essentially, or expressed potential danger to the victim.
Look, Donald Trump is all over the news. You may become nauseated with the conversations about Donald Trump, but we can't ignore. And so Donald Trump says Jews who vote Democrat hate Israel. 844-967-2789. On the other side. Will it pull down in circles? Will it fly high like a bird up in the sky?
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Donald Trump is asking a New York judge to allow him to waive requirements for bond.